I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone, trusted by traders in over 160 countries. From Barangaroo Studios, here's what you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to the COB. It's great to be here with you on this Thursday afternoon, even though the market's not looking crash hot, is it?
No, it is not. I'm Juliet Sali. This is Nadine Blaney. We're going to talk you through what happened on the market today as we see a 1% drop. And it kind of looks, Nadine, like it was just sort of the stairs that you're taking down. The selling was very linear.
Yeah, it was. Look, it was a bit of a fumble right from the get-go. We had some of those retailers coming out in particular and updating. They followed hot on the heels of Commonwealth Bank, and that takes us really nicely to our three themes, because we're, you know, everything's sort of rolling on top of each other today, because really dominated by some of those updates coming from the companies. You kind of had a feeling it was coming eventually for the retailers, right? Particularly now that we know that it's higher for longer. But I thought Baby Bunting in particular, its update was pretty stark. They said that they're going to update the market in late June as well. So I think that is what accentuated the selling, because clearly, you know, it's a very uncertain environment. And that is what JB Hi-Fi had right up at the top of their sales release. It was a challenging environment.
Absolutely. And you kind of, you know that. I was just talking about that with Martin as well. Like, if you are seeing these higher costs of living pressures, then will you just take, you know, your cousin's pram rather than buy a new one? It's all sort of that almost recycling, not spending on new discretionary points, but also talking to Martin about how sticky we're continuing to see the services part. And you know that when you go and line up for a coffee, don't you?
You sure do. And services across the economy has been a real spot of bother, let's call it that. I had a good chat with Phil O'Donohoe, who's the chief economist here in Australia for Deutsche Bank. He says that the RBA has it right for now with its patience. He draws some comparisons to the Australian inflationary environment in Canada. Like, Canada's central bank is widely expected to cut in July.
But
he said they're right for now, but yeah, things have got to change or, you know, not right for very long.
Banks bashed. Westpac ex-div today, but CBA came out with its update. It did see a fall in cash profit, but it was better than expected. I think a lot of this is really just, you know, there are so many broker updates out there to sell CBA. It was a down day as well. Also interesting, they were saying the Australian economy is sound, but they are seeing a pickup in arrears, so people not meeting their mortgage payments.
Yeah, that's what UBS had pointed out in their note in terms of the guidance. But it says overall, the third quarter trading update is tracking in line with consensus forecasts on net interest margins, ahead on cash earnings. It, though, still has a sell on Commonwealth Bank with a 12-month price target of $105.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that has a buy at its current level. I think they're all selling that one. Let's have a look at the retailers, as we mentioned, particularly, you know, JB Hi-Fi.
Contagion.
Yes, 4.5%. Premier Investments down 3%. Super Retail down about 5%. And I noticed that before. Temple and Webster, obviously a very key discretionary one, down 15.5% today.
Yeah, really interesting. I covered Temple and Webster on the call last week with Junbei Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners and Adam Jaws from Sean Partners. Junbei really likes Temple & Webster as a growth story, as a long-term story, but boy, that's a pretty painful punch there for investors today. We've talked about the banks. I note that we had a downgrade coming. I think it was Morgan Stanley for ANZ today in the wake of its earnings. So we were getting a more complete picture coming from these banks just over the past couple of weeks. But couldn't all be bad news,
no,
could it?
No, absolutely. Oil prices rose overnight. Saw some good gains in energy stocks. Woodside and Santos looking good as well today. The Paladin Boss story, more about the sell down in uranium, which of course had been on a tear a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Healthcare also down. Not Ansell, though. It put on about 1%. But when CSL is down by 1%, you know, it does some damage to the overall market, you know, given the weighting of that company on our local market.
Let's have a look at some of the updates we had today. We mentioned CBA, but News Corp also reporting revenue fell for the March quarter, third quarter revenue down 1%. And this, it says, is really due to the impact from foreign currency fluctuations. So its share price fell 3.5%.
Yeah, different story for REA. So you know that News Corp is part owner of REA. It has seen revenues for the quarter increase by 15% to $256 million. Why? Well, those higher Australian property prices, which brings me to mind an interview with I did with Anthony Landoff from Equilibria Finance. It's up online if you're interested in property. He gives us an update on the investor component, but also just talking about these huge societal changes that are happening.
Because part of that. He said something like 80% of homes are more than $1 million.
In Sydney, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just, it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty concerning for a lot of people. But he talked about how, you know, many younger Australians are just choosing to rent where they want to live and just buying up investment properties in regional you know, centers. But that just means that, you know, there's more people that are gonna
You know, that's how Europe, a lot of Asia live as well. Okay, CBA, Baby Bunting, JB Hi-Fi, we all touched on as well. So some selling coming through in those stocks today. Let's get to our guest, Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. Are you cutting back on buying a new pram or discretionary items, Mathan?
I'm not going to even look at that area for the rest of my life, hopefully. Look, Baby Bunting was an interesting story. I've followed it for a long time. I mean, we had a time when all their competitors blew up and they were the last man standing, and they benefited from that. And it is interesting how retail has started to roll over. And just a couple of months ago, everyone was pricing in, you know, longer, it's going to be great, retail's doing well, consumers are holding. We all knew this was going to happen at some point. It probably should have happened at the end of last year. There was a lot of optimism about rate cuts, so people just kept on borrowing. And I think after the Christmas, the borrowing pretty much hit a wall, and we're starting to see consumer spending, you know, really pulling back in all areas. You guys were discussing about, you know, how the small business in suburbs are playing out, especially the coffee places. I mean, the local coffee shop is charging $5.80 for a large flat white. $5.80.
I know.
And when I asked them, they basically said it's not actually about the rent, it's about wages.
Yeah.
So if you want to get staff, you have to pay up to get staff. And if you're paying up to get staff, you have to charge higher. And it's an endless loop.
It's this vicious cycle, right? And I don't blame, you know, coffee owners for their prices necessarily, because they've got a lot of costs associated with it as well. But you just wonder how this is all going to end. Today, we know for the market, it's going to end much lower. Is this just, I mean, when we started out today, it was all a bit of profit taking, you know, markets taking a breather. Was it any sort of a more sinister turn throughout the session in your view?
I think we've been in this uncertain, I guess, flip-flop cycle. I mean, we've just had, 5 months where passive flow boosted markets in the US, and that sentiment basically came through to everyone else. And then minute the quarter finished, April, we had a negative month, and the sentiment started to flip-flop. So we're kind of in that environment. Now we're getting results out, and we've seen the consumer weakness, not just in Australia. I mean, most of the corporates in the US flagged that as well. So it shouldn't be a surprise at all. I mean, everyone from McDonald's, I mean, God forbid, even McDonald's is struggling. So in that kind of environment, consumer spending is going to weigh, and that feeds into everything. So I wasn't surprised that the market is rolled over, but today is quite interesting in the context that it's predominantly global flow. So the turnover is, you know, going into the close, just over 4.4 bill, which is, you know, a couple of bills shorter than usual. And it's been, as you guys were talking about before, a straight line down, because it's, you know, most of it's through the pipe, and it's been consistently selling. There wasn't any massive local play in that sector. It's just been selling. And so we have to wait and see how this plays out. I think there's going to be a fair amount of multiple expansion in the market that needs to be taken out. And if consumers are not spending, you're going to see that in all the sectors.
What about some of the other news that we heard just on the broader economy? I mean, the CBA update as well, they're starting to see a pickup in arrears. We had the RBA leaving rates on hold this week. They really don't seem to want to raise rates, but it does kind of, I guess, point to that further, you know, picture of how the average Aussie might fare if interest rates were hiked again.
Yeah, I mean, I like to borrow Winston Churchill's line. RBA will do the right thing when they've tried everything else. And we did that before as well. We should have raised higher. We should have raised earlier. We didn't. We pulled out earlier because we have serious amount of debt. I mean, it's a bit, you know, it's a chicken or the egg thing. If you let asset bubbles run, you create the problem. We let people borrow too much. And the reality is, long-term average, bond yields are around 4 to 5% where we are. So it's not really a surprise. It's just that we've let people borrow too much. And as you were discussing, the average house price is over $1 million. If you just do the basic numbers of a couple on average salary trying to borrow for an average house, it's impossible. So how does that work? Well, obviously, we're lending people money that we shouldn't be lending. So there is a fair amount of, I suppose, zombie lending that's in the market. I mean, we haven't had a rate rise since 2012, where most other countries did. So we've got some bad asset allocation in the economy, and that's going to get flushed out. And I think RBA is going to remain on hold and hold out as long as they can. But if, you know, inflation starts to pick up, and that's always a likely scenario, and if that happens, then they will be forced to have to hike. And I don't think they want to do it. They've made it clear they don't want to do it, but they may be forced to do it. So time will tell.
Okay, so before we get too depressed, Nathan, where are you seeing opportunities in this market? You've got to be, or you'd be out of business.
Yeah, look, we're seeing a lot of opportunities. I mean, I'm trying to hold myself back. There's some areas of the market are doing really well. I mean, look at the services sector. I mean, I keep repeating, the whole market barely talks about it. If you look at the mining services, professional services, they're all doing really well. I mean, we talk about Codan. It's at a multi-year high. You know, this has gone from $4 to over $11. You look at ServiceStream, it's nearly doubled. And then you look at, you know, things in the energy sector. I think the energy sector looks really good. It's probably one of the few areas where you're actually getting relative value. And I'm not talking about the Woodsides and the Santos because they're too big and they've got too many issues. But you look outside that, there are opportunities arising. And now the government has started talking about gas. Look, we've only got one big player, APA, who has the biggest pipeline to bring the gas across. And they're trading at, what, 30-40% below the peak? So there's a decent amount of opportunities out there in the energy sector, in the services sector, in the food sector, and you look at commodities, there are specific commodities that are doing quite well, whether it is in gold, whether it's in copper that's, you know, sitting at pretty much all-time high, close to there. And we're seeing some of the other commodities like uranium doing really well because the market is chasing baseload energy. So I suspect you're going to get another play in thermal coal coming. Oil is going to get supported. And I think all the baseload energy players are going to remain in play because the market needs energy.
Yeah, well, I do note that Strike Energy is the best performer today in percentage terms, up by 5.6%. It presented at the Macquarie Conference, one of the, you know, one of the updates that actually went the right way today. But yeah, just talking about the gas policy being under review, talking about, you know, all of its strength and its balance sheet and execution when it comes to its project. So yeah, there is some interesting and some good news stories out there.
Yeah, we are a great energy producer. We are a great food producer. We have a phenomenal services industry. It's just that the market always talks about the banks and the miners. But if you look outside that, there is a fair amount of growth. There is a fair amount of outperformance happening. So, you know, it's going to be about stock picking over the next 12 months. Your standard, you know, hold the banks, hold the big miners, is not going to be the next 12 months.
All right. Moving away from the milk and the miners. Methan, thanks as always. Methan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. Let's get to the stock of the day. It was JB Hi-Fi.
It sure was. Daniel Ortizzi from Stock Doctor and Mark Gardner from MPC Markets weighed in.
really concerned about is the structure, I guess, of their cost base, and particularly what we're seeing around rents, because lease expenses have been lower as a percentage, obviously, since COVID. And we know JB has bargaining power, but I see that as a threat to their business going forward. Yeah, I'm happy to call it a sell right now on outlook risks.
Yeah,
I think broadly there is a whole load of downside in these consumer discretionary stocks, and I think when the market rallied 1.5% the other day on the hype of rate cuts, people are actually going to realise that rate cuts, like the catalyst for rate cuts, is not necessarily a good thing. It's usually softening economy, softening demand. So, yeah. As I said, you've had a great win. Why wouldn't you just at least take half off at absolute minimum, if not just sell the lot?
Some strategy there as well. If you'd like to listen to their full analysis, you can do so via the website, The Calls Up Online, or via our newsletter podcast as well.
Let's have a look at the leaders. Were there any today? I think Treasury Wine looked okay. There we go, up 2.4%. Sayona Mining looked good too. Chalice Mining, always moving on a very sort of, volatile movement.
Liontown no up news,
5%. And PEXA up 3.2%.
Yeah, we saw AGL doing all right as well. Its target price lifted by 2% to $12.05 per share by Jefferies. It was interesting. Talking about AGL in relation to data centers, you can draw a line from data centers to so many areas of the market, but we're going to need a lot of energy for all that data. Smart Group today, worst performing company. It saw its price target cut by Citi, price target cut by Ords as well. After its AGM, so clearly something not going well there. Westpac was trading ex-dividend today. You already explained that. And we've got ARB. Well, it's interesting. It's one of the worst performers. I'd say that's a little bit of the hangover or the contagion, if you want to call it that, for the retail space.
Yeah, with Super Retail as well. And we mentioned Temple and Webster, which might be in the small caps. We've got to hold our breath for 20 seconds because the leaders were Hutchison, 23%, Gallen Lithium, Tamboran, Next Science, and Ioneer,
yep, up by 11%. And we've got Baby Bunting being the worst performer. I mean, that is a really, really painful share price drop, as you can well see. Trajan Group, you spoke with them last week, an interview with the CEOs up online, if you'd like to go check that one out, ausbiz.com.au. And there was some news from Ainsworth this morning. They said that they're going to shelve some of their strategic initiatives to really just focus on growing the business and getting back to business. Proving the bottom line.
All right, let's have a look at tonight. It's about the Bank of England rate decision, also unemployment claims in the US and some earnings too. So Warner Brothers will be interesting after Disney, of course. Roblox as well. A lot of kids play that, don't they? Is that that?
Yeah, I wish they didn't, but they do. I am cheap though. I'm frugal, let's call it that. And I don't let them spend money. So we'll see what Roblox say. I mean, they might get a gift card for Christmas or something like that.
I don't understand it, to be honest, but I think my life is better for it. Robinhood also out today.
Okay, so tomorrow we get a bit of data from New Zealand. Nothing really here. The RBA really did steal the focus for economic data. There really wasn't much this week, but we do get Life 360 out in earnings. It's a real market darling right now, and we'll be speaking with the CEO, Chris Hulls, later in the day. So watch out for that one.
Indeed. All right, let's have a quick look as well in terms of the market. Really, really is very interesting, this downward trend. Just looked like somebody pressed sell the whole day. And we are down by 1% on the close. The ASX 200 is off by 1.1%, 7,720.
Yeah, falling below that 7,800 level. So we'll see what happens tonight in the US, whether we can pick ourselves up off the mat tomorrow, shake it off in terms of, some of the bad news that's coming now from those retailers. And then, of course, the conversation turns to, well, when are they buys?
Yeah, exactly. All right, that does it for today. We'll be back from 9:40 Eastern tomorrow.
See you then.
The COB is brought to you by Pepperstone. Trusted by traders in over 160 countries.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.